Amen. Amen. Well, we are in December, and it's going to get warm tomorrow, then warm, and then cold again, and it's going to be up and down, I'm sure, like it always is, but just something about this season, and it's exciting. We've been sharing throughout the fall season about preparing for the harvest and preparing for what God's doing and just making sure that the church is ready to be Christ on earth, to be the example. The Bible says we're the light of the world. The Bible says that we are His representation. And we don't want to represent God in a way that is not pleasing to Him. Amen? We want to represent the kingdom of God and surrender all to Him. And if we can put that PowerPoint chart up of the Jesus being the cornerstone, because this is really the base of what we have been studying, what we've been talking about, is that God is in the business of increasing His kingdom. And He's going to use you to increase His kingdom. You know, that person you talk to at work, or that person you invite to church, or that situation where you say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And all of these things, they impact people. And when you do that with a heart that's caring and a heart that is genuine, that you want the best for people, then things change. The kingdom has increased. And as we've been going through this kind of chart, we've talked about taking no offense, how the church can't be, you know, offended all the time. We have to rise above circumstances. Amen. We can't let what everyone says or what one person says one day to all of a sudden give us a frown. And now we can't witness that way. Amen. So we kind of just went through all the foundational stuff and making sure that the church is operating in the gifts of the Spirit, worshiping and praising. Do you enjoy praise and worship? I don't know about you, but that's, you know, Michelle and the team, they've been working hard. They've been, you know, being held accountable and putting Christ first and trying to do things right. And it shows because, you know, it's a serious thing to work in His kingdom, amen? And we have to take it serious as well. And that's part of it. And we're in the church, we're advocating righteousness. That we want people to understand that this word is the truth and the life. And this is how we live. And whenever you are doing things that don't line up with this word, it doesn't mean that the word is wrong. It means that we just need the power of the Holy Spirit to empower us to overcome those things. Amen? And so we've talked about that. We've talked about a kingdom focused. And I don't know what happened with the R there. But trust God. Welcome to whosoever. Because God so loved the world, He came for whosoever. And inputs and outputs. Making sure that we continue to focus on what you can control. What can you control? You can control your reading, your praying, your seeking God, your giving. You can control those things. We'll focus on those things and let God take care of the big things. Those miracles you need. God can do it. He can do it. So we've been on this journey. And today I want to talk about, I don't know if it's on here. Let's see. Share the gift. I want to talk about sharing the gift. It is Christmas season. And it's time to share the gift. So as we've been getting ready for the harvest, it's now incumbent about us to share the gift. We, as God's children, have a responsibility to share our gift. That is, what's the gift? It's Jesus Christ to those around us. Let's not hide our gift. Let's proudly show the world. As that song says, we sang today, we're not ashamed of you, Lord. Amen? We're not ashamed of who we serve. Let's proudly show the world our passion, our commitment to our Lord and our Savior. Because we have received a precious gift. And that gift is, as we all know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, and we cover that, whosoever, those people around you that you think are like, you know, God's never going to, no, they're, God's working on them. And you may be the one He uses to break through, for things to break through, to for strongholds to be broken. So never give up on people. Amen. Even your enemies. The Bible says, love your enemies. It doesn't say to have dinner with them. It doesn't say you have to go over for Christmas. But care for people. That they find more of God in their life. Because when they do that, they won't be your enemy anymore. So caring and loving people, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. You know, that is such a simple scripture, and lately I've been quoting it a lot, and you may be saying, can't we move on? But, you know, it's like, that's like a basic scripture. Everybody knows it, right? But, you know, there's an old song that, as I was thinking, you know, should I mention that scripture again and again? And there's an old song that says, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what I think of love between my Lord and I. I got it right. Rose knows it heart by heart. She can probably sing it for us. But that song just reminded me, it never gets old, that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to earth for me. For you. It never gets old. And I start thinking, I get excited just as much today than from that day when God just changed my life. It never gets old. It does get sweeter and sweeter as the day go by. It does just continue to be exciting to know that the creator of this universe that no man can understand cares for us so much that he provided a way for us that our sins be blotted out, that we can stand righteous before God. It never gets old because we're not worthy. So when I start thinking of it in that terms, as the word came forth a few weeks ago about rejoicing, rejoice, rejoice. God's people, I believe God's calling us to rejoice. And he spoke to us very clearly a few weeks ago. Just rejoice. God is good. He is so good. Amen. How many are appreciative this morning that you have received the greatest gift of all eternity? And then we all need to rejoice. We all need to rejoice. It's time for God's people to rejoice, regardless of your circumstances. Amen? Regardless of what you're going through. We have example in the Bible. And Alyssa mentioned Joseph. He was rejoicing in prison. He still loved God. He still served God. He never blamed God. He just kept on going. And then God's plan was revealed. And he saved God's people. Rejoice that our sins are forgiven. Rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. Rejoice that we have eternal life. Rejoice that the trial that we're going through right now and is just for a season, and God will intervene on your behalf. Amen. Rejoice that we have found the one true hope of all the world. Rejoice. Rejoice. That's what Christmas is all about. Rejoice because he came. And all is well. You know, I wanted to kind of give a little comedy in today's sermon. And I found this video and I want to play it. But this is a video of a child or many children receiving a gift. And we received a real awesome gift, right? Jesus Christ. And I hope that our reaction is like these kids, not physically, because they do kid. We can't do what the kids do, like jump up and down, and you might get hurt, right? You might get a sprained ankle. But spiritually, we should react like these kids reacted. So keep it in that context. But it's amusing. But let's go ahead and just in the concept of sharing your gift, because it's an awesome gift. But rejoice. We'll cut it off there. There's a few more, but we get the idea. I'm still crying and laughing. But we see these kids, they're so rejoiced, aren't they? They're rejoicing. But in turning it around, it was so fun to watch that, just to see the kids' reactions. But, you know, as we come to the realization about the precious gift that we've received, you know, spiritually, we should rejoice and we should share that gift with others. You know, it doesn't do any good if a kid opens a gift and they start playing with the box, right? And we as Christians have received the most precious gift. And we just want to sometimes play with the box and not share what's inside. And it's Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice. We have all opened this precious gift. And inside we found the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. The one true God. Our only hope. Our only salvation. Our eternal life. So rejoice. And share it with the world. With those around you. It's a precious gift. In Philippians chapter 4. Verse 10, I'm going to read a few scriptures from there. I read these on Tuesday night, but I wanted to cover a few of them here. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last hour care of me hath flourished again, when ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state that I am in to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, so Paul made it an important point that we can rejoice no matter what state we're in. He knew what it was to not have anything, and he knew what it was to have. And he knew what it was to be hungry and to have too much. And in either state, he was content. And that's a lesson for us all, to rejoice, because the gift, and here's a beautiful thing about the gift. You know, see, these gifts the kids got, they die. They run out, right? They wear out. But Jesus tells us very clearly, when you take of my water, it's living water. It's flowing. It's eternal water. And it never dies. So even that excitement was so temporary. But our excitement about Jesus Christ is so eternal. And that's amazing. And that's why Paul is understanding this and teaching us this. That no matter what state you're in on this earth, rejoice, be content, because you've received the greatest gift of all that's eternal. And just live that way. And then in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, once we're content in all circumstances and we just trust God, you're free. You're free. You're free to just live your life, fulfill the destiny that you have. Because when you're at that point where you're content and you're just trusting God, what you've really done is surrendered your will. Right? Because you cannot be content when your will is not being executed. And you want it to be executed. You want it to happen, and we're not happy when things don't go our way. But when you come to realize that it's not about our plan, it's not about our will, it's about the kingdom of God. And you have a part to play in that kingdom. And God is putting things together, and maybe for some of us it's going too slow. And Lord, I really want to, some of us it may, oh, I wish we could do this. Just pray, read. The fruits of the Spirit will be obvious to the world if you just focus on what you can control. And be appreciative of your precious gift of eternal life. Share the gift. Share this gift. In John chapter 6, verse 4. John chapter 6, verse 1. We'll start there. The story of the loaves and fishes. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. You know, Jesus, you know, many times people think of success in terms of quantity and numbers and profit, you know, things like that. That's what the world teaches. But when Jesus started his ministry, he started, nobody knew about him. Nobody thought a second thing about him. And he went to a wedding and a miracle happened there. And next thing you know, another miracle happened. And the people started following Jesus because they saw a miracle worker. It's like a rock star. Started following Jesus. But Jesus was going along this path, and he wasn't looking for the people that were following the numbers. He was looking for people with hearts that were humble. And hearts that were willing to surrender all. What did he tell his disciples? If you're going to follow me, you got to die. To find life, you got to die. In other words, their will. They got to surrender. And so although Jesus had all these crowds following him, he was still focused on one soul at a time, changing lives. And I think that's important as Christians that we don't always get caught up in, oh, if this isn't going this way, or the numbers, or the finances, or whatever. God doesn't measure things that way. He measures things by the heart. He said that to Jesse, father, David's father, because David's father didn't pull David out. He just pulled all the strong sons out. And the prophet came and said, none of these are appointed by God. And who, do you have anybody else? Oh, yeah, we got the little kid over there with the sheep. And yeah, oh, we'll bring him too. And then the prophet said, he's the one. And right after that scripture, it says God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So always keep that in mind. And it's about heart. So there are people that just need to hear about your precious gift. And it'll be multiplied. So he has a multitude following him because they heard about his miracles. And people that were sick were coming. And Jesus went up into the mountain. And he sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast and was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these people may eat? There's so many of them out there. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Jesus was pointing it out just because he had something in mind, the miracle that was coming. And he wanted the disciples to make sure they knew something was about to happen. And this he said to prove him about what he was going to do. Verse 7, Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which have 5 barley of loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and he filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And so Jesus fed 5,000 people, as we know, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The story of loaves and fishes is a story that shows how God will meet and supply the need for his people. He will. If you need something multiplied, he can do it. It also shows that God is not limited. He can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Whatever state you find yourself in this morning, rejoice, because God will provide and God will multiply. You maybe say, well, I've never seen, trust Him and believe, because His word is truth. He will not let His people be left behind. Just trust Him. And even when it gets hard, and God has a way to test us all the way till we can't make it anymore, and then the miracle comes. How many of you experience that? He does that all the time. But never lose hope. Never lose hope. Rejoice. Rejoice. And God multiplies things. And I wanted to take this time as we get ready for Christmas, as we get ready for the next few weeks to have our Christmas service. And that's always a special day. And I just want to encourage everyone to make sure on that Saturday morning you do whatever you can to be part of it as you celebrate your Christmas season. But I wanted to hand out some of our postcards. If we could hand out 2 per person, Aloy. Let me get it here. And these are our postcards that have our map at the back. And I want everyone to pray about this and just find 2 people that you can invite that don't maybe have a church already. Use it in the concept of God multiplies. So you only have 2 postcards, but God can multiply that too and feed 5,000. Because we read the story. And God could take somebody that you invite, and then they want more of God, and then they invite somebody and they want more of God. And next thing you know, that one postcard led to 10 to 15 people. See, God works. When we work, God works. You know, the Bible says that we plant and we water, but He gives the increase. It's not any of our responsibility to save people, for people to come to salvation. The Bible doesn't say that that's our responsibility. It says you plant and you water. And it is God by the Holy Spirit that reveals to people that they need a Savior. And that's the job of God in us. That's what He does through us. So take these, and maybe you already have somebody in mind that you haven't invited before, or that maybe you were just kind of hesitant, hey, to tell that person, and you kind of felt they needed church, but you were kind of embarrassed you didn't know how to bring it up. So this is a way to invite someone maybe to the Christmas service, and you'll have to tell them it's on Saturday because it's not on Sunday, right? But use this as an opportunity to share the gift that you have. Share the gift. Now, don't give it to somebody that you already, you know, have invited before and has come and maybe, you know, is coming now. Or pray about finding somebody that you just never know. God's already talking to people now, telling them this year you need to be in church during Christmas. God's already working, because God is preparing His people to come to Him. That's what this preparing for the harvest has been all about. God, He's preparing us to be able to show Jesus Christ to the world. But God's already doing the work in people's hearts. He's already softening their hearts. And one of these postcards could just be that thing that triggers them to confirmation and that push that they needed. And God can multiply. So don't take it lightly. Just share the gift. That's what this is all about. It's a precious gift. You got Jesus Christ. It's a precious gift. So I want to end with this thought. I'm going to ask Michelle to come and play some music. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I wanted to end with this thought. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. We'll start with 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. It's very clear that Jesus in this passage is telling his people, you have to keep your saltiness. You got to be real. You got to be salt. You can't proclaim to be salt and have no flavor. And it doesn't do any good for the kingdom for us to be Christians and go and hide and lose who we are, our character. And that's what Jesus is saying. Then he says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, Jesus directly makes these statements for us to not hide our lights, to be proud. As that song says, we're not ashamed of you. So shine your light. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not the kind of Christian yet that I can. Well, he came for whosoever. That includes us, you and me. In our past, our sins, when you confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive you. But don't make excuses for them. But go and sin no more. Amen? Go. So don't ever feel that you're not an instrument that God can use. He can use anybody. He can use anybody. The harvest is truly ready. There are people now that God has been preparing their hearts. And he'll put you in a situation to invite or to tell somebody about this precious gift that you have. And the laborers, you and me, are being prepared to shine. We're being prepared to shine our lights and point people to Jesus. Operating in the gifts of the Spirit in humility. God's people taking no glory, but always giving God the glory. That is a big key. When people begin to find Jesus and he uses you, don't think that it is about you. Always give God the glory that he's using someone like us, as unworthy as us. But he takes us. We plant, we water, but God gives the increase. Rejoice today, for you have a precious gift. Share this gift, because God is on the move. It's harvest time. Plant, water, trust God for the rest. Share this gift of eternal life. Some will ignore you. Some will make fun of you. Some will laugh at you. But there is one waiting with an open heart. And when that person comes to Christ, the rejection is all worth it. One soul at a time. One person at a time. It's worth it. Rejoice. It's about the kingdom of God. God loves people. He loves you. He loves me. He loves those people out in the world that haven't found him yet. He loves them. He's trying to get their attention. And he's going to do it through you. Share the gift and rejoice. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, we believe that you are showing us the way. You're showing us, Lord, that we do have this precious gift. And that it's time to rejoice and it's time to be glad that we belong to you. It's time to trust and obey, because there is no other way. We trust you, Lord. Everyone in this place has been called to share this gift. And Lord, in unity and in a spirit of humility, we ask that you lead us and guide us to that place, to that person. that needs to hear about this gift, that needs to know there's hope in the name of Jesus, that their circumstance is but temporary, but the answer is eternal. Lord, we are your people. We love you. Amen.